Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, The Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 25, The Descriptions of the Characteristics of King Puranjana, Part 5, Verses 43 through 62, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya.
A living being has different activities in different stages of life. One is called Jagrata, or the life of awakening, and another is called Swapna, or the life of dream. And another stage is called Susupti, or life in the unconscious state. And still, there is another stage which occurs after death. So in this section of the Bhagavatam, the life of awakening is described. That is, the man and woman were married and enjoyed life for 100 years. Thus, life in the dream state is described. For the activities Puranjana accomplished during the day were also reflected at night in the dream state. Puranjana used to live with his wife for sense enjoyment, and at night this very sense enjoyment was appreciated in different ways. A man sleeps very soundly when he is fatigued, and when a rich man is fatigued, he goes to his garden house with many female friends, and there enters the water and enjoys their company. Such is the tendency of the living entity within this material world. A living entity is never satisfied with a woman unless trained in the system of brahmacharya. Generally, a man's tendency is to enjoy many women, and even at the very end of life, the sex impulse is so strong that even though one is very old, still, he wants to enjoy the company of young girls. Thus, because of the strong sex impulse, the living entity becomes more and more involved in this material world. The seven gates of the body, which are situated upward, are the two eyes, two nostrils, two ears, and one mouth. The subterranean gates are the rectum and the genitals. The king or ruler of the body, who is the living entity, uses all of these doors to enjoy different types of material pleasures. The point of this simile of the nine gates is that the living entity wants to enjoy different types of material opulences, and to this end, material nature has given one various holes in the body that one can utilize for sense enjoyment. Of the seven doors on the surface, namely the two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, and one mouth, five look forward, and these are described as the doors facing the eastern side. Since looking forward means seeing the sun, these are described as the eastern gates, for the sun rises in the east. The gate on the northern side and the gate on the southern side represent the two ears, and the two gates facing the western side represent the rectum and the genitals. The two names Kadyota and Avirmukhi mean glowworm and torchlight. This indicates that of the two eyes, the left eye is less powerful in its ability to see. Although both eyes are constructed in one place, one is stronger than the other in the power to see. The king or living entity uses these two gates to see things properly, but one cannot see unless accompanied by a friend whose name is Duman. This friend is the sun. Although the two eyes are situated in one place, they have no power to see without the sunlight. Vibrajitang Janapadam. So if one wants to see something very clearly, Vibrajitam, then one must see it with two eyes and the assistance of one's friend, the sunlight. Within the body, everyone is a king because one uses his or her different gates according to one's will. Although one is very much proud of one's power to see or hear, one is nonetheless dependent on the assistance of material nature. The two gates named Nalini and Nalini are the two nostrils. The living entity enjoys these two gates with the help of different avadhutas or airs, which constitute the breathing process. And through these gates, the living entity goes to the town of Saurabha or Aroma. In other words, the nostrils, with the help of their friend, the air, enjoy various aromas within the material world. Nalini and Nalini are the pipes of the nostrils through which one inhales and exhales, enjoying the aroma of sense pleasure. The mouth is here described as the chief or the most important gate. The mouth is a very important entrance because one has two functions to conduct with the mouth. One function is eating and the other is speaking. Our eating is done with the friend rasagya, the tongue, which can taste so many different types of foods. The tongue is also used for speaking, and it can speak of either material sense enjoyment or Vedic knowledge. Of course, here, material sense enjoyment is being stressed. Therefore, the word rasagya is used. The right ear is used for karma kandiya or fruitive activities. As long as one is attached to the enjoyment of material resources, one hears from the right ear and uses the five senses to elevate him or herself to the higher planetary systems like Pitri Loka. Consequently, the right ear is here described as the Pitrihu gate. The two ears are situated on the northern side and southern side. The ear on the southern side is very strong and is always anxious to hear about sense enjoyment. The ear on the northern side, however, is used for taking initiation from the spiritual master and for gaining promotion to the spiritual sky. The right ear, or the ear on the southern side, is called Pitrihu, which indicates that it is used for attaining the higher planetary systems known as Pitriloka. But the left ear, which is known as Devahu, is utilized for hearing about even higher planetary systems, such as Maharloka, Tapoloka, and Brahmaloka, or yet even higher planets situated in the spiritual universe where one becomes more inclined to be permanently situated. One who is interested in being happy on this planet as well as after death generally wants to be elevated to the Pitri Lokas. Such a person can use the right ear for hearing Vedic instructions. However, one who is interested in going to Tapoloka, Brahmaloka, the Vaikuntha planets, or even Krishnaloka, may take initiation from the spiritual master in order to be elevated to such lokas. The gate on the western side of the city was known as Asuri because it was especially meant for the Asuras. The word Asura refers to those who are interested in sense gratification, specifically in sex life, to which they are overly attracted. Thus, Paranjana, the living entity, enjoys to the greatest satisfaction by means of the genitals. Consequently, Paranjana used to go to the place known as Gramaka. Material sense gratification is also called Gramya, and the place where sex life is indulged in to a great extent is called Gramaka. And when going to Gramaka, Paranjana used to be accompanied by his friend Durmada. The word Vishaya refers to the four bodily necessities of life: eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. The word Durmadena may be analyzed in this way. Dur means dushta or sinful, and mada means madness. Every living entity who is in contact with material nature is called mada or mad. Srila Jagadananda Pandit says in his Prema Vivarta, Pisachi paile yena mati chana hoy, maya grasta jivera hoy, se bhava udai. When a person is haunted, he or she becomes practically insane. When one is in the insane condition, one speaks all kinds of nonsense. Thus, to become engaged in sense gratification, one has to accept a friend who is durmada, or badly affected by the material disease. The words asuri nama paschadva are significant in another sense. The sunrise is first visible from the eastern side, the Bay of Bengal, and gradually it progresses towards the west. And it is practically experienced that people in the West are more addicted to sense gratification. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has himself certified Paschimera Lokasava Muda Anachar. The more one goes to the Western side, the more he or she will find people disinterested in spiritual life. One will find them behaving against the Vedic standards. Because of this, people living in the West are more addicted to sense gratification. In this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is confirmed, Asuri Nama Paschad Dwa. In other words, the population on the Western side is interested in an asuric civilization, that is, a materialistic way of life. Lord Chaitanya consequently wanted this Krishna consciousness movement to be preached on the Western side of the world, so that people addicted to sense gratification might be benefited by Sriman Mahaprabhu's teachings. The rectum is supposed to be situated on the western side of the eyes, nose, and ears. This gate is especially meant for death. When an ordinary living entity abandons the present body, he or she passes through the rectum. It is therefore painful. When one is called by nature to evacuate, one also experiences pain. The friend of the living entity who accompanies one through this gate is named Lubdhaka, which means greed. Due to our greed, we eat unnecessarily, and such gluttony causes pain at the time of evacuation. The conclusion is that the living entity feels well if he or she evacuates properly. This gate is known as Niritti, or the painful gate. The two legs do not speak, and they are blind. If a person simply trusts one's legs to take one walking, he or she is likely to fall into a hole or bump into something. Thus, led by the blind legs, one's life may be placed in jeopardy. Of the senses that are working, the hands and legs are very important, but they have no eyes to see. This means that in the hands and legs there are no holes. In the head there are many holes, 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, and 1 mouth. But lower down, in the arms and legs, there are no holes. Consequently, the arms and legs have been described as andha, blind. Although the living entity has many holes in the body, he or she nonetheless has to work with one's hands and arms. Although the living entity is the master of many other senses, when one has to go somewhere, do something, or touch something, one has to use one's blind legs and hands. According to the Vedic conclusion, one's self is situated within the heart. As stated in Vedic language, Hridi ayam atma pratishtatah, the self is situated within the heart. However, in the material condition, the spirit soul is covered by the material qualities, namely goodness, passion, and darkness. And within the heart, these 3 qualities react. For instance, when one is in goodness, he or she feels happiness. When one is in passion, he or she feels satisfaction through material enjoyment. And when one is in darkness, he or she feels bewilderment. All these activities are of the mind, and they function on the platform of thinking, feeling, and willing. When the living entity is encircled by wife, children, and home, one acts on the mental plane. Sometimes one is very happy, sometimes one is very much satisfied, sometimes one is not satisfied, and sometimes one is bewildered. Bewilderment is called moha, illusion. Illusion by society, friendship, and love, the living entity thinks that one's so-called society, friendship, and love, nationality, community, etc., will give one protection. But one does not know that after death, one will be thrown into the hands of a very strong material nature that will force one to accept a certain type of body according to one's present work. This body may not even be a human body. Thus, the living entity's feeling of security in this life, in the midst of society, wife, and friendship, is nothing but illusion. All living entities engaged in various material bodies are illusioned by the present activities of material enjoyment. They thus forget their real business, which is to go back home, back to Godhead. Everyone who is not in Krishna consciousness must be considered to be an illusion. One's so-called feelings of happiness and satisfaction resulting from material things are also illusions. Factually, neither society, friendship, love, nor anything else can save one from the onslaught of the external energy, which is symptomized by birth, death, old age, and disease. To get even one living entity out of this illusory condition is very difficult. Therefore, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, Daivi hi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etang tarantite. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the 3 modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Therefore, Unless one surrenders completely at the lotus feet of Krishna, he or she cannot get out of the entanglement of the three modes of material nature. When the living entity is in such bewilderment that one is under the control of one's wife or material intelligence, one has to satisfy the intelligence of his so-called wife and act exactly according to her dictates. Various shastras advise, therefore, that for material convenience, one should keep the wife always satisfied by giving her ornaments and by following her instructions. In this way, there will be no trouble in family life. Therefore, for one's own social benefit, one is advised to keep his wife satisfied. And in this way, when one becomes the servant of his wife, he must act according to the desires of his wife. Thus, one becomes more and more entangled. In Bengal, it is said that if one becomes an obedient servant of his wife, he loses all reputation. However, the difficulty is that unless one becomes a most obedient servant of his wife, family life becomes disturbed. In the Western countries, this disturbance gives rise to the divorce law, and in Eastern countries like India, there is separation. Within the heart, the mind is acting, thinking, feeling, and willing, and falling under the control of one's wife is the same as falling under the control of material intelligence. Thus, one begets children by his wife and becomes entangled in so many activities under the control of mental concoctions. The mind is the place where the self is situated, and the mind is conducted by the intelligence. The living entity, situated within the heart, follows the intelligence. The intelligence is herein depicted as the queen, and the soul, under mental control, follows the material intelligence, just as the king follows his queen. The conclusion is that material intelligence is the cause of bondage for the living entity. The point is that one has to take to spiritual intelligence in order to come out of this entanglement. The word viprabdha is very significant. Vi means specifically, and prabdha means obtained. Just to satisfy his desires, the king got the queen, and thus he became cheated by material existence. Although he was not willing to do so, he remained a pet animal under the control of material intelligence, just as a pet monkey dances according to the desires of its master, the king danced according to the desires of the queen. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Rishabhadev says, Mahatsevang dwaram ahur vimukte. If one associates with a saintly person, a devotee, then one's path of liberation becomes clear. But if one associates with a woman, or with a person too much addicted to woman, then one's path of bondage becomes completely clear. On the whole, for spiritual advancement, one must give up the company of women. And that is what is meant by the order of sannyasa, the renounced order. So before taking sannyasa, or completely renouncing the material world, one has to practice avoiding illicit sex. Sex life, licit or illicit, is practically the same. But through illicit sex, one becomes more and more captivated. By regulating one's sex life, there is a chance that one may eventually be able to renounce sex or renounce the association of women. If this can be done, advancement in spiritual life comes very easily. How one becomes captivated by the association of one's dear wife is explained in this chapter by Narada Muni. Attraction for one's wife means attraction for the material qualities. One who is attracted by the material quality of darkness is in the lowest stage of life, whereas one who is attracted by the material quality of goodness is in a better position. Sometimes we see that when a person is on the platform of material goodness, he or she is attracted more or less by the cultivation of knowledge. This is, of course, a better position, for knowledge gives one the preference to accept devotional service. Unless one comes to the platform of knowledge, the Brahma-bhuta stage, one cannot advance in devotional service. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita chapter 18, Brahma-bhuta prasanatma na sochati na kangshati samak sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktin labate param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He or she never laments nor desires to have anything. One is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, one attains pure devotional service unto me, Krishna. The platform of knowledge is advantageous because it is a means by which one may come to the stage of devotional service. However, if one takes to devotional service directly, knowledge is revealed without separate endeavor. And this is confirmed in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam by Suta Goswami. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayad Ahoitukam. Devotional service automatically reveals actual knowledge of our material existence. One who is sufficiently intelligent immediately attains the stage of renunciation of so-called society, family, and love, as well as other things. So as long as we are attached to society, family, and love in this material world, there is no question of knowledge, nor is there a question of devotional service. However, by directly taking to devotional service, one becomes filled with knowledge and renunciation. In this way, one's life becomes successful. Recorded November 15, 2023 by Nirantara Dasa. All glories to the ISKCON founder Acharya A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Om Tat Sat.
Namami Parang Satchit Ananda Rupang Lasat Kun Dalam Goku Le Brajamanam Yashoda Piyolu Kuladhavamanam Aram Rishtam Atyan Chito Dhukya Bhubya Rudang Tang Mohur Netra Mam Rajantang Karambo Jayugmena satankanetram. Puhushwasakampa jirekankakanta spitta vrivangdamoda rang bhakti padham. Swalila bir ananda kunde swagosham nimaj jantam akyapayantam. Tadiye shita yeshu bhaktair jitatvang punak prematastam shatavriti vande. Varang deva mokshang na mokshavadhinva na chanyang pranehang vareshadapiha. Idang deva purnata gopalabhalang sadame manasya virastam kim anyat. Dante mukam bhojang adyanta nilayar vritang kuntanay snigdha raktais jagobhya. Mohos chumbitang bimba raktadaran me manasya virastam alang lakshalabhai. Namo Deva Damodar Ananta Vishno Prasida Prabhodhuka Jalabdi Magnam. Kripa Drishti Vrishtyati Dinam Batanu Vihane Shamam Agyam Edyakshi Drishyaha. Ver atma jau badha bodhyaiva yadvat swayamo chitau bhakti ajau kitau cha. Katha prema bhaktin swakang me prayat cha namokshe graho me stidamo dareha. Namaste stu damne spuraditi damne twadiyo dalayata vishvasya damne. Namo radhikayai twadiya priyayai namo nantalilaya devaya tupyam. Mami Chwarang Sachit Ananda Rupang Lasat Gundalang Gokule Rajamanam. Yasoda Bioruka Ladavamanam Param Rishtamachan Tato Dukya Gopya. Namo nanchalilaya devaya tukyam. Namo radhikayai chadiya priyayai. Namo nanchalilaya devaya tukyam. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.